The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord. I'd spare Pam the rest. No, it was enough. Okay, so this past week, my family and I went to see the movie Mission Impossible. And it's based on the TV show that was aired in the late 60s, early 70s. My brother and I used to love watching that show. We loved how the mission was communicated on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And then after it was given, what happened? It self-destructed, exactly. And the mission was always some sort of impossible task that the agents had to complete with disguises, fancy gadgets, a lot of cunning, and even more luck. My brother and I would try to piece together the plot, figuring out who is good, who is bad, and how was it going to all turn out, because it always did. But usually not without a lot of twists and turns and even more action and peril. Well, the movie didn't disappoint me in that matter. In the midst of all the peril and action and the twists and turns that happened, the bond that held the crew of top secret agents together, even in the face of suspicion, in the face of danger and betrayal, being disavowed, was the fact that they were friends. They loved each other, and they trusted each other. They were even willing to die for one another. Today, Paul has given us a mission impossible. He says, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Will this message self-destruct in 5 seconds? I don't know. Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. In the Lutheran Church, we often use those words, called, and we're talking about the ordained ministry, pastors. However, God is clear that God calls each and every one of us, regardless of our education, regardless of our age or of our ability. God calls each and every one of us each and every day. We are called and ordained for ministry through the gift of holy baptism to live our lives with the love of Christ. Paul says, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is our mission. When Jesus asked his followers to accomplish this mission that seems impossible, he didn't give us disguises or gadgets. Instead, he gives us the gifts of humility, gentleness, and patience. Some of you might be thinking, gee, thanks, Jesus. We're probably going to need a little bit of cunning and a whole lot of luck, too. Because we live in a world that does not value these virtues, the virtues of humility, gentleness, or patience. Our world prizes power, pride, instant gratification. Who's going to believe that being humble and gentle and patient can make a difference in our world? Most of us don't even experience these virtues when we're waiting for a light to change while we're driving, but alone while we're waiting for the world to change. Who wants patience? I think many of us learn early on that you don't pray for patience because what's going to happen? Things you have to be patient for. Your patience is going to be tested. Former Prime Minister of England, Margaret Thatcher, spoke the truth when she said, "I am extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end." Who wants patience? Well, the truth is, God does. God's passion for patience is so strong that God puts the Holy Spirit into our hearts to produce the fruit of patience. This means that patience is not optional for us. It's not like those gifts that Paul talks about in the next couple verses of the reading from Ephesians, where some have one, others have another. Patience is a fruit that all Christians are to cultivate and live. So what is patience? Patience is a lot more than the ability to wait. God's patience is a patience that acknowledges that there are all kinds of good and righteous reasons to be angry. People can be downright hurtful, evil, and mean. Yet God's patience is slow to anger, because many times when we are hurtful ourselves, it is because we are hurting or because someone has hurt us. God knows grace and forgiveness changes people, even the hardest of hearts. God's patience gives all people the chance to be touched by grace, to repent and allow God's love to change them. God's patience also keeps us humble because God has a much bigger perspective than you or I do. At the very heart of God's patience is a love for all people, that we are all indeed loved children of God. It's kind of like that saying, "Be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet." Must we always be patient? Well, we know that even God's patience sometimes runs out. But when our patience runs out, we need to be really careful. And that's when it becomes important to be very careful to act with humility and gentleness. We are humble lest we forget that we too stand in need of God's forgiveness and grace. God calls us to be gentle because we know that gentleness produces growth. A compassionate deed of justice or a gentle word of truth, even a painful truth spoken with gentleness, is powerful, very powerful. Gentleness always has a more loving result than brute force or a verbal grenade of angry words. Those sorts of messages will self-destruct. But gentleness gives life. As the people of God, our mission is to share the healing and life-changing message of God's love. And we share it best by how we live. To accomplish this mission, God gives us the gift of each other, with all of our different gifts, all of our different abilities and talents. Our strengths and our weaknesses are brought together in the opportunity of this time and place here at St. Mark Lutheran Church to work together in Christ's name as a team bonded together with the love of Christ, serving with one another, reaching out to others with the gift of friendship. This doesn't mean that we are always going to agree or that we won't sometimes hurt one another. Yet we bear with one another, and together we work for reconciliation. We work for unity because we know that we need each other to accomplish God's mission here on earth. Together we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet, his heart and his head, his voice and his presence. And what makes this mission to live in Christ's love turn from impossible to possible is that Jesus' message does not self-destruct. It is life-giving. Jesus promises to be with us always. Always and forever, no matter what. He not only equips us, but he feeds us. He feeds us for this mission with himself, the very bread of life. Because we live in him, and he lives in us. He is our loving friend who is willing to offer his life to save us and all God's children. And in him, we have life. Life in all its fullness. Amen.